Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Here we are again, Wondrous Roots, your health from the ground up, August 5th, Saturday, August 5th at noon Eastern Standard Time, and you are listening to Rebecca Montrone. I am a holistic health practitioner and nutritionist with a degree in holistic nutrition, certified through the American Association of Drugless Practitioners as a certified holistic health practitioner. I see people in private consultation regarding all areas of health, any age, any health problem, from wellness to serious disease. I'm also an herbalist, so I come up with these wondrous formulas. I like to think of them that way anyway, for various things. So we have a full line of botanical products that we make here ourselves, me and my wondrous helpers. So again, you're listening to Wondrous Roots, your health from the ground up, and we are located here at 103 Roxbury Street, the Miller Forge Building in downtown Keene, New Hampshire. Our open door hours are 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. I see clients outside that time as necessary to accommodate schedules for private consultation, but you can just wander on up if you've never been here during the week, during those business hours, Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 5, see what we're all about. Meet us. We'd love to meet you and speak with you. See what we have to offer here. We have a wonderful clientele here that we've built over the years. It is truly a space of community and energy. We have a lot of laughter here, a lot of good conversations. It's kind of like the country store in many ways. So again, 103 Roxbury Street, Keene, New Hampshire, up on the third floor of the Miller Forge Building. We have free parking, ample free parking out front, and elevator access as well. So everybody can get here who wants to. I also see clients all the time, many times. Teleconference, been doing this way before COVID, and that was just because I have a lot of clients not here locally. So, in fact, my last appointment of this week, last evening, was with somebody in Alexandria, Virginia. So, again, don't let that be a problem. Our number here is 603-439-2603. This is Blog Talk Radio, and for the next hour now up until 1 o'clock, if you are listening at this time and this program is live, you are welcome to call in. The number here is 563-999-3478. I'll say that again, 563-999-3478. And you can call, as usual, when I was doing my program for many years, on WKBK to talk with me about anything at all, excuse me, or with what I'm talking about today, which I'll be getting to in a second. But again, the number here is 563-999-3478. If you want to listen to this program again or another time, you can just use the same link in the newsletter that I send out ahead of the program, or if you are notified from Blog Talk Radio, that would be the same link, and you can hear that at any time. You can also go to my website, wondrousroots.org, to the radio on the top navigation pane. Just click down, and you can pick up my former newsletters and podcasts and share them, listen, whatever you want, but they are always available. I think that's all I have to say for intro today. I hope you're enjoying this first weekend of August. We've had some really beautiful weather here in New England this past week, and it's just been excellent. Still, again, we have had a little bit of rain yesterday, but we've got blue skies, fair weather clouds, and it's just really nice out today. So hope you're going to really enjoy this weekend wherever you are. So if you are following along in my newsletter, as you know, I put this newsletter out weekly before my radio program. And today I've been doing a series called Why Are We So Sick? Right? Why, when we look out at the general population, when we look at ourselves, at our families, at our friends, when we kind of, we just did a quick overall health assessment of our population, there's a lot of unhealthy. There are many unhealthy people. There's a lot of disease that I really have to say that I think in our times, in this day and age, our health should be every year getting better and better and better. If science is getting better, if our options are getting better, if we're getting smarter and smarter and smarter, why are we getting sicker and sicker and sicker? As a population, we can't deny it. It is just literally true. And so something's wrong. Something's wrong with whatever the system is, but we are not benefiting. People are, you know, I see people all the time, and I hear about their runarounds many times with our current medical system, which is really pretty much suffering under a huge load of inefficiency due to various problems, some of them recently through all kinds of gobbledygook that happened during the pandemic. We have nursing shortages. We have all kinds of problems. I had a woman called me about her husband's, contacted me about her husband's condition. It's a rare neurological type of thing that he has, and was asking me if there was anything I might be able to recommend to support his health in light of this particular condition. And, you know, in conversation with her, I found out that he's been recommended to see a neurological specialist. He's receiving really high intensity treatment, very expensive treatment. But to get in to actually see a specialist, it's going to be March of next year. And was talking with a client just yesterday whose son, one of her young sons, who's probably, I want to say, 9 years old now, and has suffered with some serious symptoms since he had COVID a while back, and just getting stonewalled when, is that the proper word? I'm not really sure, but just being getting nowhere when asking for basic testing. Well, we don't do pediatric testing for thyroid, for instance, you know, because he's lost a lot of weight and he is having cardiac difficulties to the point that he can't exercise. And he was a really avid athletic kid. And just not getting anywhere. And then, well, we'll send you, we won't do this baseline testing because we just don't do that, but we'll send you to a pediatric cardiologist, but can't get a phone call back up in Lebanon. So I know that we're just not where we should be with being the land of the free and the brave, being the smartest and the brightest and the best. We're crumbling. Our health is crumbling. And I think most of you would have to agree with that assessment. But it doesn't have to be that way because we have so much more power than we think we do. Oh, yes, we do, if we just know how. That's my passion. If you know me, if you've worked with me personally yourself, if you're one of our customers and you, if you're in my loop, if you've been listening to me on the radio for any length of time and receiving my newsletters, you will understand that that is my passion. Is empowering people with knowledge. And we don't have to accept this mediocre healthcare in our country, in our world today. We do not have to accept that, but we have to know what we can do. So I've been doing the series, Why Are We So Sick? From our polluted environment, and I'm not just talking about air pollution, I'm talking about our polluted food supply, our polluted medicines, our polluted food and the things all around us, the things we ingest, the things we put on our bodies, such as sunscreens, the air we breathe with pesticides and just flame retardant furniture and rugs and clothing, all kinds of things that are sort of like invisible to us. And let's not even, we haven't even touched on electromagnetic frequency and electromagnetic radiation and all of that. We have right now, we're in such a conundrum when it comes to wisdom and government and government control that, you know, my husband and I have stockpiled incandescent light bulbs to last us probably the last of our life, because if, maybe you don't know, but under the Biden administration, this past Wednesday was the last day retailers can sell you an incandescent light bulb. You have to get those horrible LED lights that are so energy efficient, but did you know they are supremely bad for your health? Yeah, that's something I'll have to talk about when I get ranting and raving about why are we so sick and talking more about the toxins. I just picked up a book. I'm going to walk away from my desk and go grab it so I can read it to you. It is... I'm not going to read you the book. Lucky you and lucky me. Detoxify or Die by Sherry A. Rogers. And I bought another one that I took home that I want to read in preparation for going into more of the emphasis, why are we so sick, on all the stuff that is around us and coming into us against our that we're ignorant of. And then, you know, that we're not giving any permission for, we don't have any choice. Why we have to protect ourselves from the inside out. But yeah, so, you know, this is our government telling us what we can do, what kind of lights we can use in our home, going to be telling us what kind of water heaters, apparently, and maybe whether we can use a gas stove or not. Oh, all under the auspices, right, of looking out for your health, because we don't want your kids to have asthma. Oh, wow. We know, a lot of us know what some of the roots of childhood asthma are, and they have nothing to do with gas stoves. So anyway, I am getting on a rant, but one of the things we can do still, while we still have permission, is fortify our bodies with healthy lifestyle habits, with good nutrition, being selective and careful, and taking responsibility for ourselves. And just saying, hey, I don't expect somebody else to do this for me. I better do it myself. And I'm really blessed because in my work, these are the people I meet all the time and I work with, or we wouldn't be meeting each other and working together, because these are people, you are people who are taking matters into your own hands, taking responsibility for your own health, and not waiting for someone to come up with the latest, hey, in the news, perhaps a new drug, a one big drug that beats all, solid tumor cancers. Whoa, I am all for that. If that can come out of Big Pharma, let's go for it. I want to hear more about that. I'll bet you it'll be decades before anything comes of that. However, just mark my words, I hope I'm wrong. And I hope it works. And I hope it puts the cancer business out of industry, out of business. I will say, some people wonder, what do you mean solid tumors? So as I understand it, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm not, solid tumors are like basically every cancer except something like a blood cancer, okay, like something like leukemia or lymphoma or myeloma. But most cancers have tumors. And so that's what they're talking about. And honestly, if there was one drug with low toxicity, which I think was also one of the big selling points on this, yes, I'm sure it was. Otherwise, I would not have been so enthused. Wow, that would be wonderful. Let's pray that's true. And let's pray it becomes available to people very soon if that is the case. So today, I say I've spent many weeks delving into nutrient deficiency, specifically iodine, magnesium, sulfur, lithium, the B vitamins, vitamin A, and vitamin D. Oh, by the way, I was going to talk about vitamin C today, and I started working on my newsletter the other night, which is rare, but I didn't get very far. But it was going to be on vitamin C. And as I was reading about vitamin C, it's not like I don't know anything about vitamin C. Of course I do. And I think vitamin C supplementation is important and very helpful. But there's been so much controversy over the years about how much, what form, blah, 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 that I just told myself I'm not going to speak about something until I really feel like I'm worth listening to on a topic. So I'm going to say I've ordered a book. I ordered a really cool book this morning that arrives on Monday, and I really trust the source, the author of this book. I can't remember the name of it, and I'm not going to take time now to look at what I ordered. But I just want to say that that I'm going to be learning more and answering my own questions. That's what I always like to do, is answer my own questions before I really speak in any kind of a, you know, whatever authority I have, but in any kind of a professional way about something. So I want to have all my ducks in a row on vitamin C before I bring the ducks out to you. So anyway, DHEA, missing hormones. I had started this program a few weeks ago because I was going to get right into this, but then I thought, man, there's a few vitamins I've missed, like vitamin D and vitamin C. So anyway, here we are. Iodine, magnesium, sulfur, lithium, B vitamins, vitamin A, vitamin D, this time digging into missing hormones. We start to make less of life-protecting hormones by the ripe old age of 30. Wow, 30. You feel like you're just getting into adult life at 30 these days, right? But no, your hormones are already on the coming downside. And I'm talking more about the upstream hormones, the precursor hormones, the anti-aging that have to do with all the other hormones. And so today I'm going to be talking about dehydroepiandrosterone, which is also known as DHEA. So DHEA is a prohormone, we call it, that is made in the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands, we have two of them sitting each on top of each of your two kidneys. And they are responsible for making many hormones. They make our cortisol. They make our adrenaline. They make aldosterone. They make a lot of things, but DHEA and pregnenolone are there. They make their hormones from the vital substance known as cholesterol, which is actually the most upstream hormone in our body. But by around age 25, DHEA levels are sort of peaking, and then by age 30, they're coming on down. So it's important to replenish them, in my opinion, and based on science, based on my own experience, because I started replenishing DHEA probably around age 32 daily. And I'm 65. I've been doing it every day ever since. Well, maybe I miss a day here and there, but you know what I mean. So talk more about that in a bit. But dehydroepiandrosterone, more commonly known as DHEA, and it's sulfite metabolite, DHEA sulfate, are the most abundant, which we make from DHEA. So, you know, you might ask, well, DHEAS, do I need to get a supplement of DHEAS? No, because we make that form in the body from our DHEA supplements. Like many other hormones, DHEA is predominantly synthesized in the adrenals, small triangular glands that sit on top of our kidneys. DHEA is also synthesized in the brain, both male and female reproductive organs, and adipose tissue, that's fat tissue, a form of specialized connective tissue that makes up about 25% of our body weight. The body making DHEA using the precursor pregnenolone, another naturally occurring steroid hormone derived from cholesterol. So that's just kind of a little bit of quick definition. So this is a sheet I'm going to go through with you that I typically, very, very many of my clients I have using DHEA for various reasons, although seriously, in my opinion, everybody would want to use DHEA as a supplement, and you probably will once we finish this program. But anyway, I call this a DHEA overview, but it is just kind of an overview of DHEA and some of the major things that we can affect in our health by paying attention to it and replenishing it. I had a woman, so you would put replenishing something like DHEA into bioidentical hormone replacement. So let's just go there for 1 second. So hormone replacement therapy, HRT, is something that's done in mainstream medicine for women who are postmenopausal, who have a hysterectomy, a surgical menopause, or go through natural process of menopause, will often be prescribed, or at least were very often prescribed and still are prescribed if they're not wise enough not to do it. Hormone replacement therapy using Merck's Premarin and Provera, which are not true. They're not like your estrogen and progesterone that your body makes. They are a different they have a different molecular structure. They don't work in the same way and they carry with them many risks. Bioidentical hormone replacement does not do that. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. So, in the realm of natural practitioners, you will often find those who don't agree with bioidentical hormone replacement. I had one colleague many years ago who I respected very much, but said, you know, she didn't go along with bioidentical hormone replacement. And what other hormones might we use? We might use some estriol, some progesterone, some testosterone. I don't think those things are necessary if you're using adequate DHEA because we make them from DHEA and we get those effects. But she said because losing your hormone levels is natural. And I've said this many times, there's nothing more natural than death. Nothing more natural. That's very natural. What is natural? You get older and you get weaker and you get more susceptible, become more susceptible to disease, and you have illnesses, and now you're on prescription medications, and now you get older, and you have more complications, and you die, right? So that's what we look at in the field of anti-aging, if you will, is what do we do healthfully? What goes missing that feeds into this process? Is it just time? It's time and what time does to our bodies and the things that go missing. So replenishing things like hormones and keeping those levels high kind of outsmart that aging process to a degree. Of course, we're all still going to die, but hopefully we're healthier and happier when we reach that point, when we've lived a good full life and it's time. We lose our mitochondrial energy. I talk about that all the time. Mitochondrial energy, the energy of our cells, the normal cellular respiration, begins to decline around age 30. And I used to like be really puzzled when my father, my late father, the renowned compound pharmacist George Wrench, used to quip, menopause begins in your 20s. And I was puzzled with that at first. I'm like, oh, come on, Dad. But now, you know, I know what he was talking about. So anyway, here we go. A growing body of research suggests that DHEA can prevent or reverse the diseases that anti-aging experts have identified as the most prominent markers of accelerated aging. And I believe that's what we're seeing right now. We're not seeing aging at a rate, you know, that it should be. Like if you look way back in Bible times, right, when people lived, you know, Abraham was 100 years old when he fathered Isaac. But it wasn't like, you know, I mean, Sarah was past menopause, so that was very miraculous. But, you know, Abraham went on to have several more children, and he had children with another wife, Keturah, after Sarah died when he was in his 130-something. So all I can say about that is we didn't have all of these toxins all over around us. Their food supply was not tainted. Their air wasn't tainted. They didn't have the electromagnetic frequencies. They didn't have all the stuff that ages our bodies, that comes against us, that we need to kind of repel, if you will, like we do today. So we see people aging more quickly than they should because of our lack of nutrients, because of our lack of hormones, because of the damages of our environment raining down on us. So it says the anti-aging experts have identified as the most prominent markers of accelerated aging, atherosclerosis, hardening and the clogging of the arteries, cancer, diabetes, and reduced immunity. Moreover, mounting evidence indicates that the level of DHEA in a person's blood is an excellent predictor not only of these age-related health problems, but also of aging itself. Quote, DHEA is undeniably one of the most crucial predictive factors in diagnosing aging-related diseases, unquote, according to Ronald Klatz, D.O., president of the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. There is no question that DHEA extends the lifespans of animals and holds promise as a defense against the degenerative diseases of aging. So anyway, formally regulated to a position of minor importance by the scientific establishment, DHEA has become the subject of intense scrutiny. A new flurry of research is underway, underwritten by the National Cancer Institute, the National Institutes of Health, the National Institute on Aging, and the American Cancer Society. These and other major agencies are investigating DHEA as a potential treatment for chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, Epstein-Barr virus, herpes, lupus and other autoimmune diseases, menopausal symptoms, osteoporosis, and even AIDS. Okay. So it says here, what can the average healthy person expect from DHEA? Although everyone's experience differs, most people report that they have more energy, handle stress more easily, think more clearly, and generally feel better. The age-old question, your adrenal glands, or blah, 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 blah. Actually, the cascade of adrenal hormones starts with cholesterol, something I've said many times, from which the brain hormone pregnenolone is made. Pregnenolone is then transformed into DHEA, and DHEA serves as the raw material from which all other important adrenal hormones, including the sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, and the stress hormone cortisol, are synthesized. It is the most abundant hormone in our bodies, but production peaks at around age 20, this article says. I said 25 and kind of stretching that to 30, but age 20, whoa. From then on, your DHEA levels decrease with age. By the time you reach 40, your body makes about half as much DHEA as it used to. By 65, output drops to 10 to 20% of optimum. By age 80, it plummets to less than 5% of optimum. So it's so interesting. We think of age. We think of people age. Think about people, you walk into a nursing home and see people in a nursing home and what's going on. It's not just time. It's what time has done to the body with regard to losing these things. Again, what a joy it would be to actually take a population of people as they are aging in a controlled environment, feed them well, provide the nutrients that are missing, provide the hormones that are missing, and compare the health and vitality of people, say, in their 80s and 90s to people that we see around us today, all around us, and might be ourselves. I think it would be absolutely astounding. Because DHEA has such broad spectrum effects, declining production makes itself known in every system, every organ, and every tissue of your body. The immune system is especially sensitive to diminishing DHEA output, opening the door not just to viruses, bacteria, and other microbes, but also to free radicals and the Pandora's box of the degenerative diseases they cause. So that oxidative stress. If levels of DHEA decline with age, can replacing the hormone reverse aging in humans? This author says nobody knows for sure. In studies, laboratory animals given DHEA supplement live up to 50% longer than normal. We humans metabolize DHEA differently than animals, so these results don't necessarily apply to us, but they do simply do apply. And I've got a lot of links there talking about things related to and studies showing DHEA in humans. Whether it be Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, muscle atrophy and Parkinson's, type 2 diabetes. These are all revolving around humans, so don't be daunted by that little sentence. A host of studies suggest that the lower a person's level of DHEA, the greater his risk of death from age-related disease. DHEA levels... I hate to close my window. There's the motorcycle. It seems to always probably be more of those too. A host of studies suggest that the lower a person's level of DHEA, the greater his risk of death from age-related disease. DHEA levels in 242 men between the ages of 50 and 79 were tracked for 12 years in a study by noted hormone researcher Elizabeth Barrett Connor, MD, professor and chairperson of the Department of Preventive Medicine at the University of California, San Diego. The study found a close correlation between higher DHEA levels and reduced risk of death from all-cause mortality. That's huge right there, because you know me, I'm the foundational kind of person. It's like it's one thing that does all these things. It's not just, wow, DHEA for heart disease. Now what can we find for cancer? Now what can we find for bone osteoporosis? Now what can we find for problems with hot flashes and menopausal symptoms such as vaginal atrophy? What can we find one thing for all of those things? No, let's find, different things for all of those things. Now let's find one thing for all of those things. That's a passion. That's what's really wonderful. And what makes really following an anti-aging, an aggressive anti-aging protocol, program, lifestyle, isn't that hard to do. It isn't that complicated. And it's not overwhelming. Research has pinpointed low DHEA levels as a marker for many degenerative diseases and accelerated aging. The hormone has been implicated as a contributing factor in a host of health problems, including Alzheimer's disease, autoimmune disease, and other immunological disorders, cancer, chronic fatigue syndrome, diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, memory problems, obesity, osteoporosis, and stress disorders. What's more, the collective indirect evidence from more than 5,000 published studies overwhelmingly supports DHEA's anti-aging role. Scientists now have proved that DHEA enhances immunity, decreases the risk of heart disease, defends against some cancers, improves blood sugar control, decreasing the risk of diabetes, reverses the age-accelerating effects of the stress hormone cortisol, prevents and reverses osteoporosis. And it's really interesting because I actually had a friend at the time she was a friend at the time. She wasn't a client. And she had found out, this was decades ago, but she had found out that she had her bone density revealed osteoporosis. And her doctor was concerned and wanted to put her on one of the those horrible biophosphate medications, those terrible things. Don't ever take those, by the way. And bisphosphonates, Yeah, I have some stories to tell about those too, but I digress. So all I did was recommend, and at the time I could just ask my dad could just over-the-counter compound pharmacist make a DHEA transdermal cream. The powers that be got in there in recent years. And anyway, you don't need a prescription, by the way, so don't worry about it. But anyway, that's what she used. She used a transdermal DHEA, so that's transdermal is a cream that she used. That's all she did for her bones. And when she went the next year for her DEXA scan, her bone density was reversing. It didn't just stop it. It was better. And so that's really very significant. Have you heard that when your doctor says, oh, you got your DEXA scan, you have osteopenia, you have this, so you need to take like a boatload of calcium every day, which is a very big mistake, and take these drugs. Very much bigger mistake. Okay, whether or not DHEA extends lifespan, it undoubtedly improves quality of life. Most people who take DHEA do so because the hormone helps them deal better with stress, gives them more pizzazz, makes them feel young again. My patients on DHEA almost invariably report that they plain just feel better. This is not a placebo effect. Research has shown that DHEA levels in the bloodstream correlate highly with general health and vitality, sense of well-being, and increased stress tolerance. Says in 1994, the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism published the first placebo-controlled human study examining the therapeutic effects of DHEA replacement therapy. So that means that some of the participants received DHEA and others received fake pills. The DHEA takers had much more energy, slept better, and handled stress better than the placebo takers. The researchers concluded that DHEA will improve the quality of life over a longer period and will postpone some of the unpleasant effects of aging, such as fatigue and muscle weakness. In another study, researchers at the University of California, La Jolla, gave people 50 milligrams of DHEA every day for 6 months. 67% of the men and 84% of the women reported improvements in energy, sleep, mood, feelings of relaxation, and ability to handle stress. Overall, a remarkable increase in subjective experience of physical and psychological well-being. I probably should just stop and talk about the dosing. So we can use smaller doses than that. DHEA given orally used to, and I guess it's you can still buy it this way, but you shouldn't, just buy DHEA oral. Well, you know, in an oral tablet or capsule. So unless it says micronized, it is not in a small enough molecular form to be very well absorbed. So the hormones do not survive the first and second liver pass very well. So when you take just oral DHEA or progesterone for that matter, or any of the hormones, you only absorb a certain amount of it. For that reason, I always used with people either a transdermal, a cream, like I was just talking about, or for women, a vaginal suppository or compounded vaginal creams. And that is because the skin is a good way to get those hormones in. It is second best to you can do sublingual or, like I say, the vaginal. I never use anything that way with people. I think I have briefly, but it was not my favorite way of doing it. A vaginal suppository, which is what I do. The mucosal tissue is the best way to deliver hormones because the hormone just gets straight into the bloodstream. There's nothing to hang it up. There's no skin to go through. There's no fat layers that might, subcutaneous fat that the hormone might get hung up in. So if you're using like a cream, you need to alternate sites right around your body. Don't always go to the same place because you can just kind of build that hormone up there. Micronized DHEA, which are the capsules that we carry here by Pure Encapsulations, micronized DHEA in either 10 or 25 milligram capsules the molecular structure is so small that it uses the lymphatic system and not the liver. for absorption, and so it bypasses that problem. So you don't need 50 milligrams. I do like 50 milligrams in micronized form for men. In women, I generally, if they're using a micronized form, go with 10 or 25, most often 25 milligrams. But the vaginal suppository that we have is 13.9 milligrams. However, because it is so supremely and superiorly absorbed through the vaginal tract, that's really plenty. So it's great. I've seen really wonderful things with that. I recently had a woman with issues with some urinary incontinence and discomfort due to all of that, with some bit of a prolapse kind of thing. And it was the DHEA suppositories, like within days, just obliterated that problem that she's been struggling with for years and years and years. It's really excellent for women if they have experienced vaginal dryness due to menopause, and just to restore all of that integrity of the vaginal and making all of that much more useful, while at the same time not doing anything to cause hyperplasia in the uterus or anything like that. In fact, DHEA is very protective of hormonal cancers. And there's been a lot of confusion about that in the DHEA world of talk. But that's the good news. You can use DHEA whether you've had breast cancer. In fact, DHEA is breast cancer preventive. DHEA is uterine cancer preventive. It's ovarian cancer preventive, not the opposite. So if people caution you, oh goodness, you can't use hormones because, you know, you have breast cancer in your family or something like that, it is just the opposite. Okay, maximizing immunity, we talked about that. Stopping stress in its tracks, we talked about how people do that. It has to do with the cortisol, mending a broken heart. So the cardiovascular research community is abuzz about DHEA's potential to conquer America's number one killer, heart disease. Several studies examining the role of DHEA in heart disease have produced intriguing findings. Research has shown that depleted DHEA is a more accurate predictor of heart attack than elevated cholesterol. DHEA levels were significantly lower in men who died of heart attacks than in men who were healthy. And DHEA level was shown to correlate with the degree of atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, in 200 men and women undergoing coronary angiography in a study by David Harrington, MD of Bowman Gray School of Medicine of Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which published blah, 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 that as DHEA levels went up, coronary artery disease, as measured by the frequency and severity of arterial lesions, went down. A follow-up study showed that the degree of development of atherosclerosis in 63 heart transplant patients was inversely correlated with DHEA levels. In other words, the higher the heart recipient's DHEA level, the lower his likelihood of developing post-transplant atherosclerosis. What's more, the heart recipients with high DHEA had a much better five-year survival rate than the heart recipients with low DHEA. This was, heart replacement. And that's not all. And people undergoing angioplasty, a procedure in which a balloon is used to open up a clogged blood vessel, a DHEA reduced the rate of restenosis, or, you know, getting back that way. A treated vessel closes off again from 68% to 28%. In healthy males given a clot-promoting substance, arachidonic acid found in abundance in meat, DHEA blocked an increase in clotting. Whoa. An increased tendency to clot is a risk factor for heart attack and stroke. In men, DHEA lowered total cholesterol and bad low-density lipoprotein cholesterol better than and more safely than the statin drugs such as blah, 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 blah. It is also non-toxic, and you know my position on cholesterol, but I believe that DHEA, because we get this from cholesterol, is a balancing, a lipid balancing, naturally lipid balancing substance that we make in our bodies, and that its effect on cholesterol is going to be helpful because it is what it is supposed to do. And perhaps what we see with people having problems with their lipid levels has to do with the fact that we're losing our hormones by our late 20s. Can it predict, prevent cancer? While scientists don't know yet for certain, the early reports are encouraging. Low DHEA predicts breast cancer. Low DHEA predicts breast cancer more accurately than any other known marker. And yet, I had a woman who, at my advice, was using DHEA and was advised by her doctor, as a cancer protection, please don't use that, to prevent breast cancer. And it's just really terrible. Low DHEA, women with breast cancer consistently have lower than normal DHEA readings. DHEA may help protect against breast cancer by inhibiting glucose 6-phosphate dehydrogenase, an enzyme required for cancer growth. Also, because DHEA has antioxidant properties, the hormone probably defends against free radical cancer initiators. But I think I'm going to go to, I've got a piece on the protective breast and uterine cancer preventive. Yeah, this gives a little bit more info on that. And there's a lot of information on my newsletter that I'm certainly not going to get to within the next 10 minutes. So that's fine, because if you're interested, you can go and read those things. Excuse me. A new understanding of the endocrinology of menopause is that women at menopause are not only lacking estrogens resulting from cessation of ovarian activity, but have also been progressively deprived for a few years of androgens and some estrogens originating from adrenal DHEA and androstenedione. In fact, serum DHEA decreases by about 60% between the maximal level seen at 30 years of age to the age of menopause. This decreased secretion of DHEA and DHEAS by the adrenals is responsible for a parallel decrease in androgen and estrogen formation in peripheral tissues by the steroidogenic enzymes, specifically blah, 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 blah. Now, what I want to tell you about that is it's really great because DHEA cascades into testosterone very nicely in women. So it is fantastic for women with low libido. And when women come to me and tell me they have a low sex drive, without fail, these DHEA ovals work, and they work fast. They don't just help with the vaginal integrity and the moisture and all of that kind of stuff. That testosterone really puts back your mojo when it comes to your sex life. So that's another great thing, and again, not harmful. Here, when we're talking about, it says, blah, 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 blah. Vaginal maturation was stimulated again, while no effect was observed on the endometrium. So again, no cancer-causing thing there. Preclinical studies, on the other hand, have shown that due to its prominent conversion into androgens, DHEA prevents the development and inhibits the growth of dimethylbenzo-induced, we'll just say breast mammary carcinoma, so breast cancer in the rat, a model of breast cancer. DHEA also inhibits the growth of human breast cancer xenografts in nude mice. The inhibitory effect of DHEA on breast cancer is due to an androgenic effect of testosterone and dehydrotestosterone made locally from DHEA. When used as replacement therapy, DHEA is free of the potential risk of breast and uterine cancer while it stimulates bone formation and vaginal maturation and decreases insulin resistance. The combination of DHEA with a fourth blah, 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 blah. Anyway, goes on and on. This is a safe and really important thing to do for your efforts at preventing hormonal cancers such as, the ones we've been talking about here. I think I'll just skip to, I do want to go back to the original one that I was doing for bone health. So this is one of the things, among the anti-aging hormones, DHEA stands out as a multi-talented star with amazing ways of outsmarting osteoporosis. Now, keep in mind, osteoporosis is misunderstood. It is defined by comparing your bone density with that of a 25-year-old woman. Everybody's bone density is held up to that, and if it, as it deviates from that, you're either osteopenic or osteoporotic. And so we want our bones to be flexible and strong. We don't want them to be super hard. There's reasons that bones get helpfully less dense. I won't go into that until I'm doing another thing again on osteoporosis. But we want our, we don't want our bones to be over, less dense. we don't want them to be excessively so. So it says here, DHEA is the only hormone that can both inhibit bone breakdown and stimulate bone formation. Plus, DHEA is a precursor to estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, all of which prevent bone loss in their own right. So why does this bone problem happen? Again, we start making less. The clock is ticking. We start making, you don't even know you're making DHEA. You've never heard of it. You hit 30 years old or somewhere around there. You start making less. You don't know. You just know, you know, as years go by, you're getting older. Meanwhile, all of this deprivation is causing problems that we just say, well, you're getting older. Yeah, that's true, but that's why. Okay, so bone cells convert DHEA to estrone, a type of estrogen that in turn increases the activity of bone-making cells called osteoblasts. DHEA's transformation into estrone also, get this, depends on the presence of vitamin D3. But get this, likewise, D3 requires DHEA to stimulate osteoblasts. It can't do the job alone. Now, that's really missing from our discussions and our medical treatment or, treatments of bone density problems, right? Is anybody talk about vitamin D? You find you're supposed to get calcium with D3. Well, we need calcium, but most of us don't need calcium supplementation because we get a lot of, we have a lot of calcium in our bodies. We need K2 to make sure the calcium goes where it is. We need the D3 and the K2 together. We need magnesium because magnesium helps with the balance of calcium. But anybody tell you about DHEA? I'm sure the answer out there is going to be no. Nobody's ever said anything about DHEA. For my vitamin D to work for my bones, nobody said anything about DHEA. Japanese researchers found a positive correlation between DHEA levels and bone density in women over age 50. The higher the women's DHEA, the denser their bones. And the same researchers gave DHEA to postmenopausal rats. Actually, the animals had their ovaries removed. Yeah, they don't wait for a rat to go through natural menopause. These poor rats. The rat's bone density increased. As DHEA levels decline with age, osteoporosis may appear. People with osteoporosis have significantly lower DHEA levels than people without the disease. When osteoporotic lab animals are given DHEA, their bones remineralize. That is, their bones become stronger. Although human studies have yet to be done, DHEA supplementation would in all likelihood increase our bone density as well. Actually, they have been done. I'm not sure when this was written because I've got another one in my files that I didn't put in my newsletter about that. And we know that. It's so interesting because I have a client who told me that she was being recommended for her bones, and every now and then she'll email me back like, what am I doing for my bones? You know, and I'll tell her you're doing vitamin D3, vitamin K2, you're doing DHEA and magnesium. And so that's what you're doing. So you are not ignoring this when you don't go on the biphosphonates, which can have horrible, horrible consequences. And again, it's not hard bones we want. It's supple, flexible, strong. There's a big difference. It says, don't be surprised if in the next few years you start seeing reports that DHEA is being used to treat Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative brain diseases. And there's been studies way back linking that. I would actually say probably we'll never see anybody treating Alzheimer's disease with DHEA. But here we go. This is a study back from 2011. And these are not the newest studies regarding that, but this is neuroprotective effects of dehydroepiandrosterone, DHEA, in rat models, Alzheimer's disease. When it comes down in the abstract, the current study was undertaken to elucidate a possible neuroprotective role of DHEA against the development of Alzheimer's disease in experimental rat model. They blah, 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 blah. After such treatment, the animals were analyzed for oxidative stress biomarkers such as hydrogen peroxide, nitric oxide, blah, 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 total antioxidant, reduced glutathione reductase, superoctase, blah, 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 blah. Also, brain cholinergic markers were determined. Acetylcholine is involved with Alzheimer's disease. The results reveal significant increase in oxidative stress parameters associated with significant decrease in the in Alzheimer's. So they did this stuff to the rats, right? So and then, when they treated them with the DHE, I just don't want to read the whole thing, but you can see it there. Significant amelioration in all investigated parameters was detected as a result of treatment of these. They had their ovaries taken out, the rats, when they were treated with DHEA. Significant amelioration of all the investigative parameters. And these results were confirmed by histological examination of brain sections. These results clearly indicate a neuroprotective effect of DHEA against Alzheimer's disease. And seriously, that was the reason in my early 30s that I started using DHEA. My father and I were like, what the heck is going on here? Because my mother had Alzheimer's when she was 49, and this was back in 79. And she had had a hysterectomy 10 years earlier. Now, I don't believe, I know that there are other things that played into my mother's Alzheimer's disease for sure. But what goes missing? And then there's tons of other studies. When I was doing a presentation on this to a professional group at one point in time, that you can find DHEA and Alzheimer's disease, DHEA, pregnenolone, from which we get cholesterol, right? Then pregnenolone, then DHEA and Alzheimer's disease. So this is everything. This is a one-stop shop for many things. Type 2 diabetes. It says here, an article had it appeared, blah, 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 the current study. Anyway, as DHEA levels, I'm rushing just because we only have like 3 minutes, if that. As DHEA levels increased, the risk of diabetes declined in this study. And again, you can pull that up. Among those whose serum DHEA levels were among the top one-third of participants, there was an adjusted 27% lower risk of diabetes in comparison with those whose levels were among the lowest third. We conclude that higher serum levels of DHEA are independently associated with a decreased risk of developing type 2 diabetes in healthy populations of both men and postmenopausal women. The author said, these prospective data suggest that DHEA may play a role in the pathogenesis of type 2 diabetes, which may have important implications for preventive interventions. Very important, very important. And it just reinforces to me, I've got to speak with many of my clients about who aren't doing DHEA, who have these things. I don't have everyone on DHEA, and this just reminds me, why not? I mean, everybody should. DHEA and major depression. DHEA and Parkinson's disease, specifically with the muscle atrophy, prostate health. And there's always been a big concern about that, because do you want hormones and that scared the daylights out of me, 90 seconds. And prostate health, DHEA and fertility. I used to not use it with young people, thinking you didn't want to mess up the hormone. No, I found out just the opposite. So anyway, we've been talking about DHEA. Maybe you see yourself somewhere in there. Somewhere I have to go and end the program. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. You can see in my newsletter some of the products that I use for DHEA here in my practice. And I will be back next week. Same time, same place. And I look forward, I hope you will be too. Take care.